We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com. And also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank.
This hour of NFL Sunday is brought to you by Feldman Land Surveyors.
This is NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe. Getting you set for Week 5 in Washington. Patriots.
But the New England Patriots remain undefeated.
Redskins.
Holy cow, what a start for Washington.
Now broadcasting from the Best Yet studios in Boston, it's NFL Sunday. Presented by Kaplansky Insurance. With Fourier, Wiggy, and Keefe on WEEI.
Hour number two of NFL Sunday from our Best Yet studio in Boston. It is Keefe, Fourier, and Wiggy. Tommy Kern will join us at 11:30 as the Patriots will look to get to 5-0 this afternoon when they take on one of the worst teams in football, the 0-4 Washington Redskins. Fourier, what do you remember about your time with the Redskins?
Well, I can tell you this. So I remember being excited, like, you know, historic franchise, history of winning, you know, great fan base. And then I remember, you know, Joe Gibbs being the coach. We're like, wow, okay, so it's not going to be too different from Bill. You know, this guy's won championships before. You know, it's not some, like, just, you know, some guy that didn't know what he was doing. Like, he has a reputation. I sat in the front row. I was totally excited. After literally 2 minutes, I was like, this guy is clueless. I thought he was one of the worst coaches I've ever had.
Wow.
Like, flat out, the one of the worst coaches I've ever had.
Hall of Fame.
Because the expectations.
It is Hall of Fame.
Yeah, maybe the expectations, but he was just, he was random. He wasn't consistent. He never made any sense. He wasn't, I just was like so unimpressed. Nothing made sense.
But then he takes some
crap on the wall, and I was like,
"But then, he takes some time off before he came back to the Redskins."
Yes, he did.
He did.
So do you
he was racing cars.
So Joe Gibbs racing, baby.
Do you think he was just like the time had passed him by, and he was just like, he was one of those guys that were, you know, still trying to coach in the 80s, but it wasn't, you know, we were far from the 80s.
He was, he had already been there a year before I got there, so it wasn't like it was his first year.
He took 12 years off.
Right, so
in between gigs.
But do you think that...
And he brought back almost all the old coaches. Now, I'm talking about Joe Bugle.
Right.
Like, I mean, guys that were, like, they were so old. All of them were so old.
Oh, was the tight end coach there? What was the tight end coach?
Yeah, the tight end coach was there. He was so, I mean, nice guy.
But he was with me at the Jets. I forget his name. He was old.
Rennie or something like
he
that.
He was really old. Oh.
Oh, my God. Like, I felt like they all would come in. This is bad. They would all come in, it's like, with, like, bandages on their leg. It's like they all had some, like old guy disease. Like it was either skin cancer. It was like, you know,
they all
or it was
gout.
Like shingles. It was like gout. Yeah. Like it was like weird stuff. They're all like old people.
I'm going to find the name of the tight end.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. And he was nice as hell. He just, I'm telling you, like he didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And then he had Al Saunders as the offensive coordinator and Greg Williams as the defensive corners, two real strong personalities. And I remember they would all have headsets on, and they were both trying to tell him what to do. And he would listen to Greg, and he'd be like, wow, well, what do you want me to do, Greg? What should I do? And then Al would chirp in. He'd be like, Al, wait, hold on, Greg, stop talking. I got to talk to Al. Ugh. And he'd walk up and down the sideline. And I was sitting there watching this. Right? I just came from the Patriots. They're 4 years.
Right.
Lots of success. I was like, wow, the model franchise as far as how to run things, like military-esque type stuff, right? I was like, who the hell is in charge here? It was the worst NFL experience of my life.
Wow.
And there you go. So that was my experience in Washington, D.C.
Well, I'm glad I asked. I mean, you know,
you brought back a lot of memories there, Keith.
Well, the Patriots only play the Redskins once every 4 years, so it's worth bringing up. And it is one of those things where they're incredibly bad. And it goes right back to when Snyder bought the team. I mean, Snyder has had
it's all Snyder. I'm
such
telling you,
a disastrous run. Yeah,
it all. I remember one of the things that like Joe Gibbs did. Like they were like, so it was like everyone was wearing like it was like white cleats and white socks, whatever. White cleats. Yep. Everybody was wearing white. Like, and if you want to wear black cleats, you had to declare before a certain time. Well, Clint Portis stands up and he's like, you know, we want to wear black cleats. And everybody's arguing over the cleats that we were going to wear. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. We're sitting here taking up time talking about freaking cleats.
That's right.
Well, sure enough, Joe goes, he's like, you know what I'll do? I'm going to go talk to Dan. Hey, you guys want black cleats? Hey, raise your hands, want black cleats? You know, it's like September. I'm like, what? He's like, you know what? 2 days later, he said, you know what, guys? Came back. I just want to tell you how good of an owner you got. You guys can wear black cleats if you want. I tell you what, that's what we're going to do. We're going to wear black cleats.
Yeah,
okay.
Best and owner I'm like, in sports.
This is really what
that's
we're
amazing.
We have the Cowboys.
That's incredible.
In like 2 days. What
he actually, doing? So Gibbs, his second run there, which you were a part of one season, he was there for 4 years. He actually made the playoffs twice.
The next year, yeah.
2005, wow. They actually won a playoff game and then lost the next round. And then 2007, his last year, they went 9-7, made the playoffs and lost. But that's kind of surprising.
The guy just, even to the practice, it's just weird. It's just, I sit there, you know, I play on four different teams, and each team. Like Dennis Erickson, you know, I loved him, but he just didn't know what he was doing. Holmgren ran a great program, knew what he was doing. Bill, obviously. And then you go to like a guy like Joe, like you just realize, like, what are you doing? Like, you can't do it this way, you know? And then
who'd you have in Carolina? Fox?
Fox, yeah. I liked
Fox
a lot.
You guys both played for him.
I liked him.
He was a good guy.
I liked him a lot, okay. Yeah. But he just,
what was a bigger culture shock going from Seattle to New England or then from New England to D.C.?
New England to D.C.
Yeah, had to be.
Yeah, because, okay. I mean, because Holmgren was, listen, won a Super
That's
Bowl.
True.
The guy was building a program.
Well,
like,
so did Gibbs. I mean, he just.
He had this old school, like, caddy that he drove around, like, and he decided that one of the awards for the scout team player of the week was going to be, where was the scout team player of the week? It's like, I get to drive my Cadillac. It's like talking to like a four-year-old saying, you know what, if you scratch my back right here, well, Grandpa can't get, I'm going to give you some caramels.
You know, it's kind of like
it was the same thing. So here's this dude driving around Joe Gibbs' like Eldorado Cadillac around freaking town.
It's like when Bobby Valentine came back. It was like he was a decent manager, I guess, with the Mets, right? He got him to a World Series, and then he takes a break, and he comes back, and you're like, You don't have it anymore.
You're the times have changed. You know what I mean? It's like you got to be able to adapt and evolve to the times and the change, and the players have changed. It's completely different players. You know, when you were coaching to now, you know, guys. Yeah. When you were coaching, guys were smoking cigarettes at halftime.
But I think because they won in the '80s and the early '90s, the Redskins don't get as much credit for being so bad. Like everybody, when you say bad NFL, people immediately think Browns, Bills, Lions. Like those are the teams.
Never won
up.
Anything.
This, they have, but let's take the last 20 years. Like the Redskins deserve to be on there with everybody else.
I tell you, the other thing that really pissed me off. This is my last gripe.
Okay,
so this is before cell phones and everybody. He took he disconnected all the cable from
Joe
the room.
Gibbs.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you couldn't rent any specific videos or movies that
we know those videos.
What kind of like murder mysteries or what are you talking about?
Yeah, call them murder mysteries.
Ones that have money shots in them.
I remember like we all came downstairs like at the first time and we're eating. I was like, man, hey, is your cable work? He's like, no, man, my cable's not working. Hey, is your cable work? No. We're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So we went down and talked to the front desk. They're like, yeah, Gibbs disconnected all the murder mystery movies.
Well, those movies weaken legs for you.
I was like, what
before
the hell?
A game?
I'm
I mean,
like,
that's just
I'm
good
like
coaching.
35 years old. Dude. Like, you're not my Bob. Like, what are you trying to regulate what I do on my downtime?
Yeah, he's trying to make sure you guys are, got a little extra vigor for the game. That's all he's trying to do.
Make sure everybody has fresh legs and everybody's feeling good.
That's all that is.
That's how you get fresh legs. That's really, Mickey was wrong. The women don't
You don't think
legs.
So? They
no,
strengthen
it's,
legs?
It's a, such a...
I don't
such
know.
A, that's not true.
Let's go to Mike in Wakefield. He joins us next year on NFL Sunday. What's up, Mike?
Gentlemen, good morning.
Yes.
So I think the whole thing with Watson is... Well, I don't think they have to activate him until Monday. That's something that I heard. I can't really confirm that.
Okay. We'll check with Curran coming up.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of roster management because Belichick knows that he's going to have to cut somebody or send someone down to the practice squad. So, I mean, you don't really need him for this game anyway. It's kind of a pushover team. So I think you're going to see a lot of run on defense with the second and third string guys to kind of figure out who's going to, you know, who's fighting for their job. Because, I mean, defense is obviously the strength of the Patriots right now, so I don't think they'd be looking to cut anybody off offense.
See, I think it could still be an offensive guy, and thanks for the call, Mike. I think it could be one of the other tight ends. I know you guys disagree. Mm-hmm. Or it could be Cody Kessler. I mean, they got the third quarterback. Do they need a third quarterback all season? They clearly, at the beginning of the season, thought that they didn't. And so I wonder if they say, you know what, would you rather have three tight ends or three quarterbacks?
Three tight ends.
Yeah, because at least those guys could conceivably play in a game.
And I'm more on the Cody Kessler thing than anything. Yeah. It's weird to think that we've seen, like, we've talked about this in the past, that when a guy comes back off a suspension, boom, he's right back in the mix, ready to go, and he's out there playing. And Ben Watson, that's a position of need. And we still think that this guy has some type of gas in the tank. Would we say he's better than the other two guys that they already had on the roster?
My guess is yes, but I don't think it's like significantly. I have low expectations for Watson, and the longer they drag this out, I feel like I'm being proven right.
So his ceiling is what then?
His ceiling
for this year
is like 20. So he can only play, well, now he's out another game, so he can only play, what, 11 total games? I don't know, 22 catches?
Yeah. No touchdowns, though.
Probably not.
Zero touchdowns.
Okay. All right. Well, Fourier has a record.
Zero touchdowns.
What's your record? Because I know everybody knows this, but just to point it out.
I don't think Bill needs to know about it because I feel like once
he would
does
do it
know
just
to
spite you.
He would. He would just like, and then just come and grin and laugh and, oh, real funny, Bill. Yeah, yeah. You have everything. What
Wasn't
do I
it
have?
Like 11, so the record 11 is touchdowns?
It's the oldest quarterback receiver combination in the history of football is Fourier and
Testaverde?
Yes.
Or Warren Moon. No, Testaverde.
So it's, yeah. So Ben Watson, so right now Brady and Watson are the oldest QB to receiver in the league right now.
Yeah.
So when I did it, it was Vinny was 44 years old.
Wow.
I was 30, basically 37, almost 37.
Okay.
Wow.
And Brady right now 42. See, Watson's 38, so right. he's carrying the load right
yeah.
there.
I'm like, yeah,
that
he
dude's
is.
38 years old.
Was Antonio Gates last year? Antonio Gates was I guess
36.
Yes, that's an old one, but not I guess
like
not crazy old.
But Philip Rivers he's not in his 40s yet.
No,
right?
No, he's in his late 30s.
Right.
But that's a nice record to have for you, but it's only a matter of time.
I will celebrate it.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time.
Enjoy the records. Hold on to them because they don't last long.
Let's go to
They're meant to be broken, Wiggy.
Yeah, I've heard that. Frank's in Providence. What's up, Frank?
What's up, guys? You guys were talking about kickers earlier.
That's right. Good kicker talk today.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, I was just going to say that I'm no fan of Denver, but that Jason Elam, when they had him, he was unbelievable.
It was a weapon.
For my money, that's who I went. Jason Elam for Denver Broncos.
I remember. He got a 63-yarder, but the
altitude.
Yeah.
Altitude.
Yeah.
Mile high.
But he was the only guy I remember playing fantasy football back in thousands, and he's got more points than anybody all the time.
That seems a little over the top there. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if he's really your leading scorer, Jason Elam.
It's a lot of points.
He's probably available, though.
Yeah, he might be out there.
So none of us are all that confident in Mike Nugent, and clearly the Patriots aren't either because they also signed a kicker, Youngway Koo, to the practice squad. Because that's an odd thing. I mean, you guys have been around the league a long time. How many times has there been a kicker on the practice squad?
Never, right?
This has got to be.
For me, never.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
I'm trying to think. I don't really remember having a kicker on the practice squad.
It seems like a waste of a spot in most cases. But
maybe that's
one,
an insurance policy,
I think it
right?
Is. Yeah.
There's a guy like, you know, a young guy that you want to put on and you want him to play, but maybe just doesn't have enough experience, so you want to see him in practice. And then if the kid, what's his name, if Nugent doesn't go out there and doesn't perform well, then you go, you know what? Hey.
How long of a leash do you think Nugent gets? Like, if he goes out there today, misses a field goal, misses an extra point.
Oh, hook.
Gone, right?
You get the hook.
Yeah.
You got to give him the hook. Mm-hmm.
And I think they're not going to put him in, like, a tough spot. Like, he's not going to attempt a 50-yarder, I don't think. Because the game, we all assume, is going to be pretty one-sided.
Or
do you do it? Or do you do that on purpose?
Or you find out what you got. Because really, are the circumstances going to be really that stressful? Like, oh, you miss this kick. No. Oh, you're going to put our defense backed up, and no. They may cross the 50.
No, they're not. Not when you look at the situation that you're playing against the Redskins. You're not going to have any. We're not. Like I said, you're not going to know until you play against the Eagles, Dallas, Houston, or Kansas City. To know about potential pressure situations.
Yeah, you're not. I mean, the next 3 weeks, it doesn't really matter. Now, next week could be a little
Cleveland
bit better.
But even Cleveland and Baltimore, yeah, maybe that might not even matter.
You don't think Cleveland's turned the page? You don't think that Browns team's looking pretty good? They're looking nice.
No, not yet.
No?
Not.
Well, what scares me about them is just they could be very explosive. Like, they're definitely.
And they're getting their other playmakers. Their third and fourth receivers are coming back, too. So
it's all about the quarterback. And right now, Baker Mayfield hasn't really shown much. And like Christian, Baker? I did find the tight end coach that it was.
Who was it?
It was Donnie Bro. Donnie Brozier.
Yeah, Brozier.
Brozier. This guy was like.
was that the guy that walked around with iced tea?
He walked around like he had bad back and bad knees.
I remember when he like, hold the bag. Like, come on, let's go hit the bag. Right. I was like, you sure? What is right. the bag?
And why don't you grab a seat?
He was the only guy. when I walked in the bathroom. He was, and he was.
You knew he was in there?
No, and he was doing a number one.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It was like he was on a, like the police were frisking
him. Oh, he put both hands up?
He put both hands up.
But to balance himself,
even lean against the wall or fall over.
And what's crazy is I wanted to know the name. He was your offensive coordinator. You were in Washington between 2004 and 2007, right?
Yeah,
he was the offensive coordinator. He was
for you.
Yeah, he was my tight end coach when I was with Carolina. But he was the offensive coordinator for you, Christian.
He wasn't. It was Al Saunders.
Okay,
no,
why does it say OC? So was he just...
Oh, maybe one of the years he was.
Maybe. For me, like, they brought in Al Saunders to be the... He was the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
Offensive coordinator for all those years. Was with the Rams. So he had that. Remember that, the Chiefs used to shift three or four times, and then they would motion.
Right.
And that's how they would try to confuse people. And there was a revolt. We all decided we weren't shifting anymore. We just said, we're not shifting and we're not. No, I'm not even kidding. That was part of my issue. We decided that the shifting and the motioning didn't work for us, And so we just said, we're not doing it anymore. Somebody went to Joe. And Joe, this is crazy. They bring this guy in to fix the offense. So we bitch to Joe. Joe tells Al, we're not doing it anymore. We're just going to run right and left, and we're just going to line up and run it. We're going to smash mouth. That's what we're going to do, boys.
Big Ten football.
Yeah. Do anyone see that Iowa Michigan?
Oh, I
game
did. I don't know why I watched a bunch of it.
That's torture.
That was a slog and a half.
So bad.
Let's go to Tim and Lowell.
He's Patterson, the quarterback, stinks.
What's up, Tim?
What about the dude from Michigan? Oh, yeah, but the dude for Iowa. He was Terry Stanley.
Stanley's horrible. What's up, Tim?
Morning, boys.
Morning.
I got to weigh in on this Tom Brady's comments after the game last week, and I have to admit, I'm really shocked at his attitude. It's the first time I can remember in his 18-year career that he singled out his teammates for public criticism. I mean, it's always, we got to work harder, we got to do better, it's always we and us. Last week was a change, and I was very shocked and disappointed. I've always supported him, including 2 years ago when Belichick wanted to trade him. I publicly supported him over Belichick.
Wait, what did he say? What did he say?
He must be talking about the Jim Gray stuff.
Yeah,
it's very difficult working with a young, inexperienced players, and basically kind of throwing him under the bus for his struggles last week in Buffalo, which
I understand where you're coming from, Tim, and he's made a lot of comments. He's been asked a lot about it. I actually want to get into that coming up because I feel like it's such a big story right now, Brady working with young receivers. We're talking about one guy. There's one young receiver who's on the active roster. I don't count Gunner. All he does is return punts. It's Jacoby Myers, who is your fourth wide receiver, and everybody's like, how come you're not working with him? What's his problem? How come he's not playing? It's not like you run out there and you are – determined to get this guy the ball. He was a healthy scratch couple of the weeks.
Yeah.
Right? So everybody's so fixated on Brady with young receivers. I don't think it matters. Now, if N'Keal Harry was out there,
that'd be one
now
thing.
You have a much bigger topic on our hands. But well, let's get into this because he's been asked about it on every interview and every press conference. And I'm saying, you're talking about one guy. And they always say, young receivers. It's one guy. It's Jakobi Meyers.
And I got an interesting stat about Jakobi Meyers that's really going to make you go, really?
You got to make you say,
You
got to make you say, okay.
That chicken is good.
That's NFL Sunday brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Morning, boys.
Bill Belichick joins Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier tomorrow afternoon on Patriots Monday. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Needham Bank. Patriots trying to get to 5-0 today when they face the Washington Redskins, who are 0-4 and turning to Colt McCoy as their starting quarterback. Kickoff at 1 o'clock. Some of the early Patriots inactives. Rex Burkhead, Patrick Chung, and Nate Ebner have already been ruled out. Benjamin Watson has not been activated from his 4-game suspension, so he will not play. Dante Hightower and Julian Edelman both expected to play. We'll have the full list of inactives just over an hour from now. Baseball playoffs. The Yankees beat the Twins 8-2, taking a 2-0 series lead. Astros top the Rays 3-1. Gerrit Cole with 15 strikeouts over 7 2/3. Both game threes will be tomorrow where the Twins and Rays face elimination. Both NLDS series continue today. Braves and Cardinals at 4:10. Dodgers Nationals 7:45. Both of those series are tied at a game apiece. According to Ian Rapoport, Antonio Brown has officially filed grievances against the Raiders and Patriots, seeking upwards of $40 million. Bruins beat the Arizona Coyotes 1-0. Brad Marchand with the goal. Yaroslav Halak had a 35-save shutout. Bruins are back in action Tuesday night against the Vegas Golden Knights. And the Celtics begin their preseason tonight, 6 o'clock, where they take on Terry Rozier and the Charlotte Hornets. I'm Rich Keefe. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
More of NFL Sunday right now with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
I mean, we've had a lot of, you know, young players over the years, you know, try to come into our offense. You know, it's a challenging position because there's a lot that's put on receivers. You know, young players, it's hard to count on, you know, there's been, not a lot of young players that have had major contributions in our offense. That's just the reality of that position. We have, I think, a high level of, communication, a high level of detail. And I think sometimes it takes guys a few years to understand that.
There's Tom Brady from this week where he was asked really every time he did an interview or had a press conference about the young receivers. This is NFL Sunday. Keith Fourier and Wiggy. I feel like this whole storyline has... Yeah, this is really intense. I feel like the storyline has become really overblown. I mean, how many teams have five competent receivers that they even throw to? Pick a team in the league. I bet they don't have five.
Not many. I would say not many.
And wouldn't the issue, guys, be more, let's get the most out of Josh Gordon and Philip Dorsett and the running backs than harping on how Jakobi Meyers and Brady might not be on the same page? Because, like, that's not going to be the difference, I don't think, in them winning at all, is how up to speed Jakobi Meyers is.
No, not when you look at this team. It's about those three guys that you're talking about. You're talking about
Philip Edelman, obviously.
Edelman, Philip Dorsett, and Josh Gordon. That's really the wide receiver core, right?
Yes.
What we're thinking about.
Yes.
And what are those guys doing to make sure that, hey, week in and week out, they're building that trust, besides Edelman, but those other two guys, Philip Dorsett and Gordon, are building that trust in Brady, are on the same page with Brady, that they know we got chemistry together.
Yeah, I feel like, has it been blown out of proportion? Well, he's been in this situation before, and you never heard him say anything like this. I mean, and I don't think he said anything really bad. He just said, you know, guys got to step up. You know, guys got to play better. Guys got to do their job. So maybe, but I do feel like he's been Brady that is has been more, I don't know, cryptic this year more than he has in the past.
Yeah.
Because I always feel like he there's always something to what he's saying. He hides it, but he always gives you some hints. He's like, he wants you to figure it out. You know, he's like, it's a murder mystery. He's like, all right, I'm going to leave the clues right where they can find it.
Well, at
know?
The risk of going back to the well, I think it does have a lot to do with Antonio Brown, because I think he liked him so much. Mm-hmm. He liked having him here, veteran guy, all of that stuff. He clearly wanted to work with him, whether he was living at his house or not, doesn't matter. He really wanted him, and now he's gone, and he's taking subtle shots, being like, we had it pretty good like when right. he was here. Now that he's gone, it's going to be tough. Like, these young guys, like, it's gonna be tough.
Let me ask you, is that bridge been burned?
Brown?
Yeah.
I think so.
I've been the guy that's been on bend the knee every night, that hoping that maybe there could be something that could be worked out there.
It's all Kraft. I mean, Brady and Belichick, in my opinion, never wanted him to go in the first place. So they it's not like they have to welcome him back. But I just think I think that one's gone. I don't think
he's coming
back.
Yeah, if they
were
trying to avoid public criticism, man, the last thing they could do is bring it back.
Bring him back. But like a lot of people say, hey, you're probably going to have to end up paying him the $9 or $10 million anyway. You might as well get some games out of him.
And there's your excuse. Listen, we got to pay the guy. I might as well get something out of it.
Like, we looked into those texts and we realized that we have a change of heart. And we're bringing him back.
We kind of overreacted just a little bit.
But I think that's why Brady has been saying what he's been saying. I think it has much more to do with that. Like, if Brown was never here, maybe he's not quite as bitter, because he never got to – he wouldn't have gotten his hopes up to the degree that he did.
Right.
Yeah, and it was honestly – we always mess around with the best-case scenario, but that is like a dream come true, Christmas come early. Yeah. Wait, we're going to get who?
Right.
I remember I have felt this way with Darrelle Revis when people started throwing that rumor out. I was like – there's no way the Patriots are getting Darrelle Revis. Just because, like, they're the Patriots. Do they need they can't have any more awesome players. Sure enough, they get Darrelle Revis. It's just – that was the way I felt with Antonio Brown. But, you know, they still need a guy. They still need to find a guy. I don't know what well they go digging in, but they
Well, apparently it's not. If you're joining us late, Christian Fourier was doing some investigative work, and it sounds like Emmanuel Sanders will not be dealt from Denver. That's his source.
He ain't going nowhere.
Because that's a shame. That'd be a guy that they would want. The other thing, when you read about, you listen to Brady over the last couple of weeks talking about young receivers, I think a lot of people thought when they drafted N'Keal Harry in the first round, the first time the Patriots under Belichick had ever taken a receiver in the first round, you would have assumed, wow, Brady must be thrilled. Turns out, I bet Brady was like, what's the point? Because he even said it takes a few years to be, how many years is Brady going to play? So by the time N'Keal Harry is any good or worth throwing to, Brady's going to either be out of the league or, you know, on his very last legs.
But like you said, it's so overblown, because you take like a Jacoby Myers, right? And when you look at the game that he had his biggest issue with, Tom Brady, right, would be the Buffalo Bills game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, clearly that was
the worst
game.
He played 4 snaps.
Myers? Yeah. That's why everybody's like, oh, my God, you got to get on the same page with these guys. It's like, well, if Gordon, you know, can't make it through the season, or if Edelman is hurt worse than, you know, gets hurt again, then yeah, then you really got something on your hands. Like, who's going to be that steps up? But if everybody that you have, even without Brown, if everybody's healthy, that's a kind of a low factor anyway.
So
how many teams, like, do you think Drew Brees or he's hurt now, but do you think like Aaron Rodgers, like, hey, you know, your fourth receiver, how come you guys aren't playing catch more? Like, I don't, like, what?
No. And when you start to look at teams, like, let's look at a team that, you know, throws the ball that we can kind of, you think about. Think about the LA Rams, right?
Yeah.
It's Cooper Kupp.
Brandon Cooks.
Robert and it's Woods.
Yeah. And their fourth guy, like, who cares?
Right.
Like, they'll figure it out. They'll have somebody else.
Those guys are pretty good. All three of them.
Those guys are good. That's a good trio.
Can we pick one of those three?
Yeah, I'd like one of those guys.
But
thank you.
You had that trio, because you started to compare it.
You did have that trio.
Kansas City's trio: Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins.
Yeah,
and
maybe Hardman, Mecole Hardman, maybe.
Maybe Hardman. Who's the other kid? Williams.
Well, that's their back, right?
Robinson.
Oh, they have. Yeah. So I mean, they do have some different guys, but I don't know. I don't think Jacoby Myers is really going to be what prevents you. Now, he was also, this is from the press conference, where once again this topic came up.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's up to, I think one thing we talked about here is just doing our job. So, I mean, I can do what I can do. Everyone player can do what they can do. I can't do anything for anyone else. They can't do anything for me. So a lot of it's just trust and trying to communicate trust and communication, so that, you know, I've always said the best teammates are the ones that I have to think about the least, because I don't want to expend my mental energy on things that aren't really my job or, You know, same goes on defense. You know, the free safety can't rush the passer, and the pass rushers can't cover the deep part of the field. So I think what makes a good team is just people doing their job, doing them the best way they can. And, you know, that's what my responsibility is.
The beginning of that answer mm-hmm. is one step away from Allen Iverson. How am I supposed to make anybody better by practicing? How am I supposed to make somebody else better by practicing? Brady's like, I do my job. I can only do so much. Well, you're the quarterback. So as much as I don't think the Myers thing is like mm-hmm. a huge deal, because, again, he's your fourth guy. But if Myers gets elevated to the second guy, right, say Gordon is gone and whatever else, like, I'm sorry, the quarterback does need to be hands-on and make that guy better, doesn't he?
I can't do anything but for anyone else. They can't do anything for
you
me.
You can't do anything? But you're the quarterback!
How does he do that short of they meet every morning, right? You know, they meet as a unit. The quarterbacks are, well, at least I did when I played, and I'm willing to bet you they probably still do this. The quarterbacks, the receivers, the tight ends, the running back, you meet before the meetings, and you kind of go over some of the stuff, and you look at, here's what I'm seeing against Washington. If they play this coverage, we want to do this and that. And so you kind of go there, and that's Brady saying, here's what I'm doing. Now your job is to take this information that we've looked at, and we know what the defense is doing. Your job is to make sure that you win versus this leverage, you win versus this coverage. So when I put the ball where it needs to be, you're there and you're open.
So there was a video going around from one of the few practices that Antonio Brown was here, and Brady was in a discussion with him, and he was like showing him, like, you know, what to do on a certain route or whatever, and he was doing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Would he do that with N'Keal Harry?
Yeah, I bet he's done that with N'Keal Harry.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, he's just saying, hey...
I don't know, because he's saying, what am I supposed to do?
I don't want to talk to you.
No, and I don't even know if he's blaming Harry and Myers. I think it's more of a pouting that Antonio Brown's
yeah.
Doing. It's more of a shot at Kraft than it is a shot at these kids.
Yeah. Look what I have to do. Listen, it's almost like that whole Brett Favre with Aaron Rodgers that we were talking about.
Yes.
Like, the whole, you know, it's not my job to get him ready. You know, like, it's up to him. Like, you know, figure it out, dude.
I think people are reading too much into it, where they're reading into what Brady's saying as Brady's basically completely shut all young players out. Like, he don't even speak to them. That's what people are thinking about when they hear Brady say. No, what I think he's saying is that they know what they need to do. We go over stuff in practice. We do stuff in practice. All I can do is my job to make sure I put the ball where it needs to be.
Right.
I can't make the receiver run the good route and get open and catch the ball.
But he's also been guilty in the past of, if a guy, and this might be overstating a little bit, but if a guy runs the wrong route once, then he kind of freezes him out and he's not going to get the ball again.
Keeps throwing to Josh Gordon.
Yeah, he does throw to Josh Gordon. Well, he's a veteran. That's why.
I mean, but when are we...
Because Josh Gordon made a Pro Bowl once.
We've seen that at times, but do you really think that Brady... Now, think about this, right?
Yeah.
Do you really think that Brady's dropping back and goes, okay, I got Chris Hogan down the middle, wide open, but he dropped the pass.
Yeah, last year we saw it. He stopped throwing. Yeah, that's a great example. He stopped throwing to Chris
Hogan.
But
he didn't stop necessarily throwing. But he did throw to him.
Yeah, few and far between.
Well,
The biggest crock is that Brady's favorite receiver is the open receiver. That might have been when you guys were playing, but now it was Gronk and Edelman. Who's his favorite receiver? Oh, it's the open guy. No, it's not. It's Gronk and Edelman, because the only guys he would throw to on a consistent basis. And now one of those guys is gone, and he is trying to shoehorn it in a little bit to Josh Gordon, and you're not getting the same results.
Well, I think what ends up happening is it's not that he's running down the field wide open and Brady looks at him and goes, uh-oh, I'm not throwing him the football.
I don't know. It felt like that last year with Hogan.
No, what it ends up happening is Brady goes, all right, I might not look that way because I'm going to try to force it into Julian.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to force it into Gronkowski. And so he don't even look his way. You might freeze somebody out that way, but you're not going to look wide open down the field and then just go, yeah, I'm not going to throw
it. Well, no, I mean, you want a touchdown, but yeah, you're focusing on the guys, whether it's pre-snap or whatever, I'm going to Edelman.
Yeah, I'm going to Edelman. So now people will be like, oh, Chris Hogan's running out field wide open, Brady's freezing him out. No, Brady just decided pre-snap that he's going to do whatever he can to get the ball to Edelman, Gordon, Gronkowski.
Eric's in New Hampshire. Do we get this call screener to work? Nope. There we go. What's up, Eric?
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, EEI does a lot of mixing and matching and stuff. And I got to say, I think they struck gold with a combination of you three. Great, great Sunday morning show.
Agreed. Thank you, Eric.
Yes, 100%.
I just wanted to throw out a diva wide receiver who's unsigned, sitting around, who may take a vet minimum to at a chance at the Super Bowl. How about Dez Bryant?
Okay. What do you guys think about Dez Bryant? Thanks for the call.
So Dez signed with the Saints last year, right?
Yeah, and then he got
hurt.
And
then immediately got hurt before we could even see him do anything. So he hasn't actually played in a game.
Yeah, he blew his Achilles out.
Since 2017.
So if they brought – the Patriots brought back Steven Jackson, who hadn't
Good
played
point.
The entire year.
And that worked real well. they had a weekend at Bernie's.
In Miami, they tried to feed him the ball.
Yeah,
they
did. Ended up losing that game.
So Dez is 30. He'll be 31 next month, but he's dealt with all these injuries.
But wouldn't you rather, like, okay, if you're going to.
I'll take Dez.
But if you're gonna
I bet
go,
Brady would.
But if you're going to go that route, right? Yeah. Let's say we're going to go we're going in. You know when you go on Walmart? Right?
For it.
Here we go. You go.
And the person greets you, says hello, when you walk in. You go, hello.
Hey, wait, hold on, Wiggy. Before you go, you know who never gives analogies? Keith. Never give one.
I like to keep it simple.
Okay, go ahead. You go to Walmart.
Here's my analogy. Going to Walmart, right?
Yeah.
You go back to the electronics section.
Yeah, great section.
You're like, all right, I want to get this DVD.
Yeah.
Now there's the DVDs that are on the shelves, like the new releases.
Sure, and Blu-rays.
Then they have this bin. What has like
the bargain
like
bin.
The $5
$5 and under.
So if
there's some good stuff in there sometimes.
Right.
You gotta dig though.
If I'm shopping in the bargain bin, right, for a Dez Bryant, why don't I just go to the shelf and go to the bottom and get me the discount Michael Crabtree, a guy that played last year? Why shouldn't I go get the better of the two?
See, I would say instead of that, I would say you go to GameStop.
Okay.
All right, now we're talking.
So GameStop has their pre-owned section, which is like new, but slightly used, yet consistent, and it works, and you're going to get the same experience. You're just not going to pay the high dollar.
How much can I get in on a trade? What if I bring some old games with
you? You don't get equal value on a trade. If you've ever dealt with GameStop, you get screwed on your trade-ins.
So you have two guys. So my point is, you have two guys.
So you'd rather
right?
have Crabtree than Dez.
Right. So Crabtree's in Dez Bryant is in the bargain bin for $5.
Yeah.
Where Michael Crabtree is on the shelf. He's just the discount.
For $6.
Yeah, he's a discount. He's like
he's marked down.
Yeah, he's marked down. He's like seven, $8, maybe $10 max.
Yeah.
And he's not worn out. He's more modern.
Are either of those guys better than Jacoby Myers right now?
I would say Crabtree is because Crabtree.
I'd say they both are.
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best.
Well, Crabtree played last year. He's not coming off an injury.
Right.
So
he even played this year.
Yeah. So when you're looking at it, when you want somebody that you know, like Dez Bryant, we know he was a good player.
I think both those guys, more so Crabtree. I just don't know about that. I love Dez as the player, but he's been out of the game.
Right. He's been out of the game. He's coming off an injury.
I think Crabtree might be like last ditch effort. I think they're still probably going to work a trade.
But that's what Dez Bryant is, though.
Even more so. Yeah,
more so because here's a guy who's coming off an injury who hasn't played in forever.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, then why not go get Brandon Marshall?
True.
We're
up against it. We're up against it. We got to move product as you know.
Let's go move some product. All right, sell some soap.
We got Tommy Curran coming up at 11:30. This is NFL Sunday brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to NFL Sunday. Let's get back to it on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best.
Jeez. Where's he at?
Aaron Andrews was a little nervous that day. Sherman's with the Niners, right?
Niners.
No, I know, but where is he at? Where's that at?
I don't think he's the same guy like no more.
He had a pick the other day, didn't he? I think he did. He's doing all right.
They're 3-0.
They're 3-0. Playing Monday Night Football against a good Rams
team. They're probably, aren't they the most.
Or a good Browns team, I mean?
They got to be the quietest 3-0 team in the National Football League that nobody talks about.
No.
Which means they won't be 3-0 for much longer.
Maybe even by Monday night.
That division they're in.
They play the Browns, right?
Catch up to them.
Don't they play your Browns?
They do that. That's what I'm saying.
Are they Keith's Browns?
That's my Browns.
Yeah, Keith's been on the Browns since day one.
That's a good team
This is the team to watch.
I thought last week he kind of like was like, eh.
Softened my stance. Yeah, but they just had a big win, though, so I'm back in.
Yeah, so now he's back in.
That's all that is.
A lot of points.
Yeah. Let's go to Nick in Weymouth. He joins us next year on NFL Sunday. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Earlier you were talking about Nugent. What's going to be missing now is obviously Gostkowski being able to make 48-plus kicks, from midfield. So the question is, will they gamble more on going for a first down if it's, fourth and whatever, or will they punt to secure the field position? And when they do that, how accurate is my question. I am not criticizing, but how accurate is Bailey going to be in doing what Ryan Allen was able to do? I know he's obviously a much stronger punter, but now we're talking accuracy, getting to the corner, that kind of thing. So this is going to change the strategy for Belichick in his field position game, and I know that's one of the biggest things in his repertoire. I'll just listen to what you have to say.
All right, Nick, thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, Mike Nugent is not a guy that's going to kick a lot of deep field goals, but the reality is Gostkowski doesn't either. The Patriots didn't really line him up that much. Last year, he only attempted 5 field goals from over 50 yards. And actually, between 40 and 49, Gostkowski last season in 16 games only attempted 6. So in the whole season, 16 games in the regular season, he attempted only 11 field goals from 40 and beyond.
Right.
So
I think it allows them to do both, because when you look at the situation and you look at the situation throughout the game, their defense is so good, you could say, okay, we could go for it.
Yeah.
Here it's fourth
That's
and four.
Yeah.
We can go for it on whatever it may be, the 36-yard line or the 37-yard line. We can go for it because our D is so good. And maybe if you get out a little bit and now you're, let's say, on the opponent's 40 or 45, you go, hey, our defense is so good. If we can punt it and keep them inside the 10-yard line, we can flip the field real quick.
I don't think Nugent changes their approach at all. I think they treat him like he can. I think they treat him the same way as they did the other guys. I mean, how do you know? The guy hasn't played this year. He got hurt last year. So, I mean, you got to figure it out. You got to know. He's got to build up some goodwill equity. And the only way to do that is to start putting him out there. So
that's something we'll find out real quick, though. We'll find that out today.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get in a situation where they're going to be. Yeah,
like I don't think they're going for two all of a sudden.
No, they're
they're going to kick and see what he's got.
They're going to be in a situation where the ball's on the 35, 36-yard line.
Yeah, are you kicking a field goal there or what?
Right.
What are you doing?
You're kicking a field goal or you're punting?
And then that also depends,
too.
Right, that's the other thing. Is it fourth and one or is it fourth and five? Is it fourth and, whatever? And, that's gonna determine what
they do. And how's your defense playing? Your defense is playing good against?
Probably pretty good.
Probably excellent.
Right.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Darren, this could be. Do you think we end up seeing Haskins today?
Yes.
McCoy gets just so beat up and throws so many. I mean, this is going to be just. Why? Because he sucks.
I think he's going to get hurt.
But here's,
I think he's going to get hurt.
There you go.
This is the problem that I have. Well, I could see what Christian's saying because you think he's going to get hurt. But let's say he doesn't get hurt and McCoy throws 3 interceptions. Then you put Haskins in, right?
Yeah.
Would you then do that? So why not just start Haskins?
Well,
I'm all for starting the guy that I drafted number, 12 or 13?
So when you're
15 overall,
you're going to be down 28-0. The home fans are going to be booing you, if there are any. Apparently there's a ton of Patriots fans. I'd rather start him now. Yeah.
Let him get as much experience as it's in, whether it's good experience or bad experience. Let the fans say, okay, here is the future. So it might only be 2 or 3 or 4 throws that he makes throughout the game, but you can go, oh, this is going to be the guy we're going to build off of next year. And mentally, he gets those reps.
Our window into the game is brought to you by Koopman Lumber, your local Anderson Windows dealer. We're going to have Tom E. Kern joining us at 11:30. We'll also have the full list of inactives, although we already know no Patrick Chung, no Rex Burkhead, no Nate Ebner today. It does sound like Julian Edelman and Dante Hightower will be good to go. We'll get back to more of your phone calls here as well. And the best kicker talk in the city. Nobody breaks down kickers better than we do.
And the other thing I wanted to off the Haskins, I know we're up against it, but the other thing I wanted to mention real quick before we left is because you made a good point, I think it was on Friday.
Thank you.
Where you go, well, some teams will go, oh, we're going to wait 2 or 3 weeks later and then start him. What has he learned?
Oh, that's so dumb. Wait. You're right. The guy, well, he's not ready. The rookie's not ready for week one, which, okay, fine.
But he's
How is he ready for week three?
Or even week six?
I don't get that at all. NFL Sunday is presented by Kaplansky Insurance, the right coverage at the right price, Kaplansky.com, and also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank.
For over 25 years, your number one source for Patriots coverage, the exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday. This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network, New England.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.